It's time to turn to the WUKY Sports page with your host, Keith Elkins, revealing conversations and stories you thought you knew from prominent Kentucky sports figures. Now, here once again is Keith Elkins.
Hello, everyone, and this week we'll be talking with Amber Smith, a former star point guard for Kentucky. She's in her second season as an assistant coach for the Wildcats. She served for two seasons as director of player development for Kentucky women's basketball, and during that time she helped coordinate student-athlete community service. She's also now in charge of Kentucky's recruiting. Before joining the Kentucky staff in 2016, she was an assistant at Louisiana Tech, and before that, a graduate assistant at Tennessee. In 2019, she was named to the 30 Under 30 list from the Women's Basketball Coaches Association, which recognizes 30 up-and-coming women's basketball coaches aged 30 and under at all levels of the game. As a player, she was a member of the most successful senior class in Kentucky women's basketball history. She played in 123 career games for UK at guard with 109 starts. She was a member of the 2008 SEC All-Freshman team and ranked 6th all-time in program history in assists and 8th all-time in assists per game. She averaged 7 points per game and 3.4 assists per game for her career, helping Kentucky advance to 4 consecutive postseason tournaments, including 2 trips to the NCAA tournament Elite Eight. She earned her degree from UK in Integrated Strategic Communications in 2011. Here's our conversation with Amber Smith.
All these are very logical moves and great moves in a career progression. I would think you have to be really excited about how things have gone for you in your coaching career so far.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I had no idea it would take those turns, and some of them were up and down, but I think it has all worked out, you know, for the best. And obviously my faith in God is important, and so I've trusted Him through all of it. But I've known somebody at each spot, and I think, you know, that goes back to my relationships that I've built, and I've been able to, you know, progress in this profession and been able to be successful early. And so just going to continue to work hard and try to, you know, obviously help this UK team be the best they can be.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the relationships that you build as you go along, but it's not just who you know, but it's what they know about you. So what you do when you're working with these coaches that you've worked with, all that builds on everything, doesn't it?
Exactly. And going back to my recruiting process, you know, that's when I first met Mickey DeMoss, Nia Butts, Matthew Mitchell, Kyra Elzey. And so based off of my time as a recruit, based off my time as a player, you know, they all knew what I was capable of. I had great relationships with them when I was a player, when I was a recruit. And so I think that all led up to them trusting me, you know, knowing that I could do the job, knowing, you know, that I was a point guard and that I was a leader, and that I had areas to grow in, but they saw potential in me. And so I'm grateful, you know, for them for taking a chance on me through every progression of my life.
Tell me about your duties here now as you've gone through player development and now to assistant coach. What are your duties day to day?
Yeah, my main duty is recruiting. So I'm the recruiting coordinator. And so basically I plan out, you know, where all our coaches are going, whether that be to high school games, AAU games in the summer. I'm making sure, you know, we're compliant within the rules within recruiting. Scouting is a big part of it. And then player development, and then just my relationships with the players. But I think recruiting is probably my main duty, what takes a lot of my time. And so I make sure everybody's good recruiting, make sure everybody's keeping in touch with recruits, making sure we're getting information to them, making sure, you know, they feel like they're a priority, making sure we're getting to their games. So. Mm-hmm.
And when you stay in touch with a recruit, and I'll just go ahead and ask you about the recruiting now, but when you stay in touch with a recruit, just the idea of checking in, showing interest, I know that's important to a player.
Yes.
How do you kind of find a balance between too much and not enough?
Right.
There's got to be a line in there somewhere, I guess.
It is. And, you know, every recruit is different. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them want to talk once a week. Some of them want to talk on the phone. Some of them just want to text. So I think while you're building those relationships with them, you ask them those questions, kind of what's the best way to communicate with you. And I just go back to my recruiting process and think about, you know, how I didn't want to be overwhelmed with a bunch of calls, texts, hit me up every single day.
Sure.
You know, so every recruit is different. Some of them like to talk all the time. Some of them don't. But you just try to build a relationship and see what their interests are. And so asking them questions, you know, whether that's talking on the phone or through text, seeing what their interests are, and kind of appealing to that and obviously telling them more about Kentucky and how they would fit into that. So it's a progression from, you know, their junior year, September 1st, we can actually contact them and call them and send them mail. And then it progresses to, you know, you go see them in a game. And then you do home visits in March, and then you do official visits when you bring them on campus after that. So, you know, it's a progression, and if you build a great relationship and they have a good feel for you, then you'll get a home visit, then you'll get an official visit. So, you know, our staff is big on relationships because, you know, if you go back, all of them have a tie to Tennessee. I have a tie to Tennessee, and then obviously we have a tie to Kentucky, so family is important. And making sure our recruits want to be a part of a family. If they don't, then this isn't the place for them. Mm-hmm. But we let them know that it's important, relationship building is.
Oh, yeah. Now, as much as basketball is a part of your life as a player, I mean, when you're growing up and getting an opportunity to play in high school and then in college, it's almost consuming, I guess, at that point, what basketball means to you. But at the same time, a lot of players, after they finish playing, don't really have the desire to go into coaching. When did you know that this was something you wanted to do and that you wanted to stay in the game in that role?
Since high school, really? Probably yeah. My freshman year. My high school coach is the reason that I wanted to be a coach. To myself, what I was thinking to myself is I want to do what she's doing for me and young women like me, how she's making an impact on and off the court. It just wasn't about what we could do for her and the team on the court. It was about academics. It was about being a good person. It was about having discipline on and off the court. And so ever since then, I'm just like, I want to be a coach. And so I think it was more apparent that I wanted to be a coach on the college level when I came to Kentucky. And just seeing how it all works. You know, I would ask Coach Elsie, I'm like, do y'all even do anything up here in the office? She was like, do we do anything? And so when the kids ask me that, I'm like, yeah, we do a lot. And so sometimes you can't see it, but, you know, obviously because, you know, we're on our phone at our house. You know, it's pretty time demanding. But, yeah, since high school, knew I wanted to coach. And then when I got to college, knew I wanted to be a college coach. Just wanted to make an impact, you know, the people like, you know, Coach Elsie, Coach Mitchell, LaDon Gibson, my high school coach, the impact they made on me, I wanted to make on other young females.
Yeah, and as a player, you see the coach, you think of the coach as the person on the floor who's directing things during practice and during games, but you don't see the rest of it, especially for the college coach. So you also have to be able to adopt that lifestyle and embrace it and be energetic about it. And that's not a small task either, is it?
It's not. You know, it's time demanding. Obviously, I'm single, and I don't have a family, I would say that. And, you know, Coach Mitchell, Coach Elsie, they have kids, they have a family. And so I know it can be harder, but, you know, as long as you have a great support staff, my family's supportive, I think you can do it. But it's time demanding, but, you know, it's not work or a job, you know, if you love doing it every day and you can find the energy to do it. I don't think, you know, it's I think it's a pretty great gig. So I'm excited and I'm happy.
Now, when you were growing up in Florida from Winter Haven, right? And now, did you have an interest in basketball from a very, very early age, or was there any particular thing that maybe triggered an interest in basketball?
I have a picture, 4 years old. I have a basketball in my hand. I don't know who put it in there. but I was raised and born like at my church school. So we didn't have organized sports. So I didn't play on a organized high school team until ninth grade of my high school year. So I didn't play any like middle school ball or anything like that. But I would just be at my church school and playing basketball with the guys. And so my mom saw I was, you know, pretty good. And, you know, she put me in public school. And so then I kind of knew, oh, wow. You know, I could actually go to college, you know, and get a scholarship for playing basketball, something that, you know, I just did for fun, for the joy of it. I wasn't doing to get anything out of it or use people. You know, it was just a gift that, you know, God gave me, and then met people along the way to help, you know, my talents and, you know, clean them up and, make me better. So,
you talked a little bit about your recruitment, but what was that experience like for you? It was starting to become real, I guess, when coaches are contacting you and this may be about to happen. But now you have to narrow things down and actually make a choice. And what was that like for you?
It was different than what it is now. Like the rules back, I'm not, that old, but the rules back then, it would go back and forth to where a college coach could only contact you once a week.
And we're talking like 2006, 2007, around in there?
Well, like that. Before that, I guess, because my freshman year was 2007 here.
Okay.
And so before that, I guess I was in high school, I started in 2003, they could only call you once a week. And texting wasn't unlimited like it is now. So I think it was a little bit more, I handled it a little bit more because colleges, they weren't calling all the time because they couldn't. But they would send a lot of mail. I would go to some camps. I enjoyed it. But I guess I made some unofficial visits. Kentucky was one of them. Mickey DeMoss was the head coach when I was being recruited. And so came on campus and just had a great feel. And I knew, this program, I wanted to go to a program that I could help go somewhere that wasn't already established. I wanted to help put them on the map. And I felt like, Kentucky had just beat number one Tennessee the year before. And so I'm just like, this place could be special. They were just building the Joe Kraft Center. They value women's basketball. I know it's a, basketball state, but felt like home. And so I committed before I even, made any official visits. I had made a bunch of unofficials, but I felt like this was the place for me. And I don't regret it. I would do it all over again. So,
well, your playing days at Kentucky, I was looking over some of the numbers. You started 109 games here. You played in 123 games here. So certainly you were a key player through just about your entire time in college. You're among the top 10 in assists and assists per game. And that indicates the kind of player you were. But tell me about the kind of player you were from your perspective as you look back on it now.
I think I was a team player. I think I always wanted to get my teammates involved. I think I was a leader. I was very intense and feisty. Loved defense. Loved sharing the ball. And it was just easy with, the people that, the coaching staff would recruit and bring in because they became my sisters. And so getting out there on the court, didn't feel like, man, we got to practice. This is the opportunity. I'm sure when I was young, I had some days where I didn't want to get out there. But being around people that you love, that you like, it just makes the environment so much better. And so I would just get after it. Obviously I tore my ACL twice, so went through some adversity, but came back better from it. My last one was a blessing in disguise because I came back for a fifth year and we won an SEC championship. Mm-hmm. So I was a player that wanted to win and valued winning, valued competition. And so I had some amazing teammates and we helped, I think, turn this program around and put it on the map. And so ever since then, we've stayed on the map. And I'm very proud, alumni and I'm just glad to be back, to be honest. So
yeah. Now, you mentioned the intensity that you played with, and I recall that that's how you were in watching you play. And with some players, though, it's evident. Fans can sit in the stands and see someone with an intense type personality. Other players maybe don't show that, but that doesn't mean they don't have that. And now as a coach, you've got to kind of address different personalities and coach them in different ways. Is that something that just comes along, or you try to develop that skill as a coach as you go along through the years, don't you, or do you?
I think some coaches might have to. I think because I was a point guard, I think as a point guard I had to deal with kind of different personalities and attitude, and I had to, as a leader, know how to address Victoria Dunlap versus Adia Mathis. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a coach, I've kind of taken that into my role with the different players of I might can yell at such and such, and she take that, and she's like, I'm going to step up to the challenge, where I might have to go talk to another player, on the side and just be like, hey, what's going on? And so I think something for me, it's kind of natural where I can get a feel on how certain players, you know, like to be talked to or addressed. So I think it has been pretty natural for me.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty important skill for a coach to have, because obviously the goal is to make each player the best they can be.
Exactly.
And that might not always be the same approach.
So exactly.
You have to develop that. You worked in the Tennessee program as a graduate assistant. And of course, they have a great tradition there established by Pat Summitt and a lot of great players. But that was a period of transition for them because when you were there, Pat Summitt was no longer the head coach.
Right.
Is that right? But she
was around.
She was still around. And what was it like at Tennessee at that time?
You know, obviously, Kyra Elzey, who's mm-hmm. our associate head coach, coached me at Kentucky for, I think, 4 years because I did 5 years. And then, you know, I went home for a year, and I think she was still at Kentucky. Then she ended up going back to Tennessee to her alma mater. And so once I wasn't playing anymore, you know, I talked to her about wanting to be a GA somewhere. And so, you know, I was searching. And so she called me and said, hey, we have a GA spot here. And so I said, let's do it, you know. And so Tennessee, when you think about Tennessee, you think about Pat Summitt.
Sure.
And so the thought of just being connected and tied to that program, I thought was a great honor. And then able to get my master's, you know, paid for while also being around basketball. It was a great experience. Obviously, with Holly Worley, I thought she did a great job. It's hard to follow behind Pat Summitt, anybody who would have had that job. And so she did her best. But it was a learning experience, and I was grateful to be a part of it. I learned a lot on and off the court, you know, how to run a program. Just the behind the scenes, because I had been, you know, on the court so long, it was good to see. And I learned so much from Kyra because she took me under her wings and was teaching me about recruiting, how important it is. And, you know, and little did I know, you know, I was supposed to stay at Tennessee for 2 years, but then, you know, I got a job offer after my first year. And so being able to get that experience as a GA, where I'm hands-on, and, you know, Kyra is walking me through it step by step, and then, you know, actually having to get a job and then, you know, being ready for it. So it was vital to my experience and just helping me become a better recruiter. And then I was in practice every single day.
Sure.
I was in practice planning meetings and mostly sitting back and just listening, just taking it all in. So the experience was great, just to be at a top caliber, you know, SEC team, and just see how everything works behind the scenes.
Right. And of course, with that transition period, as you say, Coach Summitt had already left her head coaching position. For those that may not know the story, she was unfortunately hit with the early onset dementia and passed away just a few years later, but was still, I guess, around the program somewhat at that time. That must have been, in a way, a difficult time for the Tennessee program, because they had to adjust to her being away and the circumstances under which she had to leave.
Right. I think they were just grateful that she was still around. You know, she would come in the office, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, sign autographs and, you know, speak and talk. And, you know, I would speak and I got me a picture one day. So I was super excited because I had been on the other sideline going against her for so many years. So I think her presence, you know, even if, you know, obviously she was going through that, just her presence, I think, just made people like feel good and feel empowered, and so that's how that made me feel. And so I think her presence was more than enough at that time, and I'm sure it was tough for those who had been around her and seeing her go through that change. But obviously, like I said, her presence was felt even with her just being around.
Yeah. Now you moved on to Louisiana Tech, right, as an assistant, and then to Kentucky as in the player development role. And that's one where you're focusing at least somewhat on the players' off-court lives, a chance to become involved in the community. Tell me about that and how that went for you.
Well, coming back to Kentucky was a great honor. And they, you know, presented this role to me. And just the opportunity to come back was great, so I couldn't turn it down. In my role, I did a bunch of things. As far as the player development, I, you know, met with the players and made them kind of map out a plan A, B, C as far as what they wanted to do after college, you know, because I just think that's important. At some colleges, you know, they only focus on what you can do as a player and on the court. But through my experience, you know, Coach Elsie, she made sure that I had a plan A, B, and C. And so I just wanted to do that for our players. And so I focused on that, was in charge of community service, so got our players out in the community to make sure we were giving back. And then I was just more involved on recruiting, and I was more involved with scouting. And so I was still able to scout when I was in the player development role, but I couldn't necessarily present or talk to the players about basketball. Mm-hmm. But I could do the behind the scenes and the, you know, the grunt work and watch the film and get it prepared and talk to the coaches and be in the player to, be in the meetings and telling them, hey, guys, I think this scheme would work. So even though I wasn't able to be on the court with the players, I was still able to meet with the coaches and still coach, in a sense, the coaches. So I was able to still recruit in certain ways. Obviously, there are rules of things that you can't do, only like the three assistants can do, but I was still very involved. So they gave me a lot of responsibilities, and I took it, and I did a good job, and, you know, 2 years put in the work, and then I was able to, you know, be promoted. So yeah. I'm grateful.
There's always, in addition to all the hard work, and there is a ton of hard work, but there's always been an element of fun around this program, I think. And Coach Mitchell kind of points the way on that sometimes with his public persona. But you have to strike a good balance there. But certainly having a little fun, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Nothing at all. And, you know, you were at our shoot-arounds and at the end with half-court shots. We are having a bunch of fun. I think it was like WWE the last time in there. They were trying to take people down, and, you know, I was, you know, tabbing out. So it's a lot of fun. I make sure, you know, as an assistant, that I try to have a balance with the players and have fun with them, joke around with them, but, you know, also have a balance where I'm serious. And so I think having fun and smiling is so important. Because it just can't all be business 24/7. That's no fun. That's not enjoyable. Because as my former teammates right now, we think about funny moments that we were dancing in the gym, you know, one night and made a video. We're not necessarily remembering a specific win or a specific game or a move that we did in a game. You know, we're remembering memories and things that we did together, maybe off the court or on the court. You got to have fun with it. Point blank, got to have fun with it.
You mentioned playing with Victoria Dunlap, one of the great players in Kentucky basketball history, and you've got a player on the team now, Ryan Howard, who looks like she's going to join those ranks if she hasn't already. Really a unique talent. I guess it depends on that player's personality, but how do you approach that as a coaching staff? Here's someone who's going to have to play a prominent role in most every game, although the team had to battle through a time when she was injured. But she's going to have a prominent role whenever you take the floor. But how do you try to approach that? What do you look for from the other teammates as to how that kind of situation is being accepted and embraced?
I think I've been able to be surrounded by really great players. Like you said, Victoria Dunlap, and I think Adia Mathis, the best guard that I've played with, one of the most talented ones. And so when I think about Ryan, I mean, I think about, you know, Adia and Vic, she's going to surpass them, no doubt, but she's similar to them as far as, like, just very humble. People person. So, you know, I think her teammates, because she is that way, you know, and she's such a lovable person, you know, they have a great relationship with them. So to me, when being a point guard, I wasn't mad that I wasn't scoring 20 points a game. I was happy that Adia Mathis was scoring 20 points a game because it was helping our team. It was helping us go further. It was helping us put ourselves in a national, you know, as a national contender. And so I think this team right here, they know Ryan is good, but Ryan makes the team so much better just by being on the court because she's selfless. You know, she's going to make the extra pass if she needs to. So I think our team has done a great job, and I think Ryan has done a great job, even though she's getting so much attention and awards. You know, she doesn't come in here boasting. You know, her teammates are, you know, propping her up and giving her, props. So you know, I think she makes it easy as far as handling it.
As we're recording just before you leave for a road trip, and again, thanks for the time on that, because I know it's a busy day for you, but take me through the routine for you as an assistant coach. What happens when you arrive in Oxford and on up to game time? Because in part of a road trip is waiting, but part of a road trip is also being properly prepared. How do you do that?
So we'll have practice today. We'll watch film. And so basically 2 days out of a game, we'll watch film, 2 days out of their personnel and some of their plays. And then today we'll watch more film or more plays that we'll actually guard on the court. So I like to give them a visual of what they're going to guard, and then we'll, you know, get on the court and let them guard it. So we'll practice today. We'll go about 75 minutes, try to taper it down once you get close to the game. We'll leave tonight about 7:30, fly there, get in Central Time, get there about, I think, maybe 7:35. Go to the hotel, they'll get a snack once they get there, and then they're done for the night, because we've already watched film. So they'll have a curfew. They need to be in their rooms by 11. In the morning, we'll have shoot around. Well, it's a long day because it's a weekday. So game's 9 until 7. So we'll wake up, have breakfast at 9. We'll have shoot around at 12. We'll come back. They'll have break. We'll have encouragement. We'll have our scouting quiz, and then we'll eat pregame meal. We'll have like an hour and a half in between that. We'll arrive to the game probably about an hour and a half before, and then it's game time. And then they'll have study hall earlier after breakfast. Yeah. So yeah.
You mentioned encouragement. What's included there?
That's so either Coach Mitchell or anybody on the staff, you know, it's basically like a devotional. So they're bringing either, you know, a Bible verse or a word that serves some type of encouragement, you know, for the game today. Or it might not even be tied to the game. Just basically bringing a word, you know, of God. And just trying to encourage others.
Well, final question for you. What's most rewarding about the coaching profession? I mean, it can be done on a lot of different levels. You're at the college level now, the major college level, and progressing rapidly. But what's been the most rewarding thing for you in the coaching experience?
I think the relationships. You know, just being able to build genuine relationships with these players. You know, like I probably could have never seen myself maybe working or having a friendship with Coach Elzy and Coach Butts because they coach me. But they're like my friends now. And so I think building that relationship to where, you know, after college, like after they graduate, it doesn't end that, like, I stop coaching you or I stop being there for you. So what's rewarding is, like, you know, one of my former players just hit me up today saying, hey, Coach, you know, how did you become a GA? Can you walk me through that? And so, you know, being able to give them that advice and be there when they're going through tough times, you know. So I think just the relationship piece and looking, knowing them and looking at them more than a basketball player, and that they're more, and telling them that, and just always being there for them.
Yep. Thanks a lot for the time.
No problem at all. Okay.
You've been listening to The Sports Page with Keith Elkins, an exclusive podcast from 91.3 WUKY, produced by Alan Lytle. Our theme music is Peanut Butter and Jam by Illogical Bit, available at soundcloud.com/illogicalbit. Subscribe to The Sports Page through Google Play or at our website, wuky.org.